I'm glad you could join me today, and welcome to the joy of dungeon design. We're going to go ahead and show the tools you'll need along the bottom of the screen there.
Pencil.
If you'd like to design along with
Orc figurine.
And while they're doing that,
eraser.
Let's head on up here, and I'll show you what
lead.
I have so far.
Dunkaroos.
Of course, I've got my usual sheet here.
Squeeze it.
And it's covered with a thin coat of
markers.
Graph paper grid lines.
The smell kind if you have
to
them.
I thought today we'd
squeeze
just do
it.
A fantastic
Blue
little
flavor.
Dungeon, maybe. Maybe
Gobots.
Maybe we'll start with a little bit of stone
Sharpie.
Wall structures. Just go ahead and layer those in there. Get them all nice and even on the sheet. Remember, you're just using the tip of your pencil here, and you're just going to tint these walls in with a little cross-hatched X motions. And you can put them anywhere you like. Remember, this is your dungeon, and you can do this however you like. Okay, now we're just going to want to load our mechanical pencil up with some 0.07 weight lead. And then just a couple of clicks here. There we go. And we're going to, I think we'll place just a few little doors here and there. Maybe this door leads somewhere. A nice little place for an orc to hide. I like to think that. Just remember that your dungeon tells a story. And it's important that all the little critters have a place to go. Remember to work in layers, one door at a time, and that'll create depth. There. I think that's a good door. I think, Yeah, there's another little rascal right there. I like to find them. I like to find little rascals throughout the building. Now let's take your mechanical pencil. We're going to clean that. We're just going to beat the devil out of it. It's time to add a few rooms. And here we'll be working from the inside out. Remember to work in neat, cross-hatched little squares. 10 by 10, or maybe we're here. We'll put in a 10 by 30. I don't see why not. Maybe the architect had a few hot toddies. Maybe. Now we're going to lightly sprinkle these rooms throughout using an even coating of monsters, treasure, and little critters. Really load up your pencil here. Don't blend too much and just trust those lines. No pressure. The dungeon's going to tell you what it wants. Maybe it wants a couple of little kobolds right here. And then over here, let's put an aboleth. I like to think they're friends. Now I always like to add a little water feature to my dungeons. And that means we'll need a blue dry erase marker I stole from my dad's office. And let's just use some measured, careful squiggles here to put in a happy little stream. It's important to take a second to think of where the stream's coming from and where it's headed, then dismiss those notions since you're just drawing a little dungeon. Let's put a happy little skeleton in the water here. Just a little rascal down there in the depths. Is that a jewel in his claw? Maybe a scroll case? It's really up to you. This is your painting. Now I'm going to take a fine Sharpie and finish this off. Just a couple of stairs, one up, one down. Add a few S's to make those doors a secret. That's just between you and me and the walls now. And finally, a dragon. A big, majestic dragon represented, of course, by a capital D. I think we're going to call this one finished. Well, I hope you enjoyed creating this dungeon with me, and we'll see you all next week. Till then, Demogorgon bless.
Remember the early thousands?
Yeah, the early thousands.
Like, you mean when Drowning Pool did Down with the Sickness?
That wasn't Drowning Pool.
Oh, no.
God, you don't remember anything.
Oh, terrible. Wait, who was it? Who did Drowning?
It was Disturbed.
Disturbed did Down with the Sickness? What did Drowning Pool do?
I don't know. Die?
No, I think, I feel like that might be in poor taste because I think the guy did kill himself.
No, I'm pretty sure the lead singer did.
Was it Let the Bodies Hit the Floor? Was that them?
Probably.
I don't know. I don't remember the early 2000s as well as I would have thought I did. I assume that... Remember that time we went to like a Nickelback concert?
Do you? Do you remember?
Okay, let's list the bands we saw at the Nickelback concert we went to. Ready?
Okay.
All right. We started by seeing...
Saving Abel.
And then we saw Disturbed... No, it wasn't. It was Papa Roach.
Yeah. It was Saving Abel.
Yeah.
Papa Roach.
Hinder. And then finally, we saw about 1.5 Nickelback songs. No, not even. We saw half a Nickelback song, didn't we?
No, we saw. I think we sat through one, maybe.
No. We came out because I remember this. He walked out and he said the least cool thing that anyone could say. Because, first of all, he was dressed and looked like an officer from the D.A.R.E. program. I mean, we're talking like tight jeans and a tucked in, unadorned black T-shirt.
Yeah.
And then he had like that Jesus beard that guy, Chad Kroeger or whatever, always has. And he came out and he was like, "Hello, San Diego. Do you know where a man could purchase a marijuana cigarette? Because I could go for one."
I hear that San Diego has the nugs.
Yeah. And then they started playing Photograph. And they were showing childhood pictures of themselves on a giant screen, and we left.
Yeah.
So I don't think we even made it through Photograph, which is pretty much the best way to handle Photograph.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Photograph comes on, you stop for a second to see if it's the good Photograph by, is it Def Leppard or whatever?
Yeah. You remember when Def Leppard covered Nickelback's Photograph?
No, don't they have their own Photograph? What song am I thinking of? What's that? It goes, "Photograph, I don't want your..." What is that?
I don't know. Photograph, maybe.
I think it's Photograph. I think it's Def Leppard. I'm not 100% sure about the Def Leppard part. I'm already committed to being wrong a bunch of times today, John. It's fine.
It's fine. You can be wrong as much as you want.
I don't care if I'm wrong about what Drowning Pool did or did not do. That's fine. That's some institutional knowledge I don't need. I wasn't part of that institution.
Look, if I can't tell the difference between Drowning Pool and Puddle of Mud, no one is going to hold it against me.
Puddle of Mud did the one song, and they're like one of those...
What about POD?
Okay, POD did... they did an episode of Cribs where they kept describing their neighborhood as being the hood, although it was clearly just South Bay, San Diego.
Huh.
And it was like you could just see rich people's houses behind them, and they're like, "Yeah, man, these are the tough streets." And I was like, "No, man, you're on the second Palm Avenue. Maybe if you were on first Palm Avenue, but you're not. You're where rich people live."
Huh.
P.O.D. Get out of here with that.
Oh, P.O.D. And it stands for Puddle of Drowning.
Yeah, it's Pool of Drowning. Puddle of Drowning Mud, POD. That's what their full title.
Yeah, the full name of that band.
All right, that's been a digression.
Yeah, that's been a really long one.
Welcome to Afterthought, I guess.
I guess.
Sure. Hi, I'm Jeff, and that's John over there.
Yep.
And this is the Afterthought program, where we get together every other week and discuss topics of interest
like
to
shitty to old someone. Bands.
I'm sure.
Someone out there is like, "Man, you know what I loved? Was those really bad rock bands."
I really miss that one about Maybe You Might Know What It's Like.
Oh, yeah, Stained.
Is that Stained, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that song is the worst. Actually, no.
Why do I know all of these?
I don't
God.
Even know why you know all these. It's killing me that you know them all. John, name three Nickelback songs.
Okay, Photograph all right. And...
Give the easy one.
Let's see. There's something about a rock star.
Okay, yeah, there's something called Rockstar.
And sure. What's another Nickelback song?
Ooh, he'll help you out with your thing you're doing. There's Insane in the Membrane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Rock Superstar.
Yeah, there's...
No, the other ones you were probably looking for was Remind Me or This Is How You Remind Me, and then Bottom of Every Bottle, I think, was another Nickelback song.
That's
so.
Just part, that's a lyric of one of their songs.
Do we know what that song's called? Yeah. Are we having fun yet? Is that it?
I don't know.
I don't, whatever. Nickelback, the end.
Nickelback.
So anyway, this is the Afterthought podcast. Where we
this is the Nickelback podcast.
Nickelcast.
Actually, welcome to Nickelback to you.
Actually, that reminds me of our great idea for a podcast earlier. The two guys who haven't seen an episode of Hey Dude in 20 years attempt to host a Hey Dude podcast, but they do not watch the show.
Okay, so I'm almost certain one of them is named Melody.
I think there's a Danny.
Yeah, he's definitely... Native American.
Yeah, he is. It's a big deal in a lot of episodes that he's Native American. And all I'm going to do here is look up the episode 2 description, and then we'll discuss that episode based on nothing but the one sentence description of it. Okay, it says here that, someone named Brad and Melody have a war against Ted and Danny to determine which is the better sex? Okay, that's weird. And also, Danny gets upset because no one remembered his birthday.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so... Having not seen that show probably ever and haven't seen any of that show in 20 years, I'm going to guess that there's probably a weird bald dude named Mr. Ernst on it who has a kind of Rick Moranis-y energy.
That's his energy.
Yeah, kind of a Rick Moranis energy. And then there's an annoying kid.
Yeah. Just yeah. one.
And the whole thing takes place on like a dude ranch or something called the Bar Nun?
Yeah, the Bar Nun Ranch.
Okay, there we go. So there you go. That's been an episode of
There
hey
you go.
Dude,
and I'm going to give this episode a rating of a little wild.
Just a little wild. It wasn't quite to a little strange.
No.
Usually you don't get to the little strange ratings until like the third. Do they even have three seasons?
I don't even know that they got to three seasons.
Whatever. According to this Wikipedia article, they had 65 episodes, but that could mean anything.
Oh, yeah. It could be like 45 episodes and then 20.
Well, because that's children's television. They're always like, oh, SpongeBob has 57 episodes in their first season. I think Steven Universe is still in its first season. It's on like episode 88.
It's on its third year.
Yeah.
It's still season one, though.
It's just, I don't understand how that shit works on children's television. It's just nonsense. Anyway, John, what did we review last week?
We continued to review rifts.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm sure if I went through one of these rifts, there would be an alternate dimension where we were doing a podcast that makes sense.
No, I'm sure all of this has made sense so far. This has made about as much sense to me as a Drabble comic strip.
Getting into that Drabble.
Remember Drabble?
You remember Drabble?
Okay, Drabble. There's like, okay, so okay. I know Garfield, for example. I know Garfield like hates Mondays, likes yeah. lasagna. But do I know anything at all about Drabble?
I don't know. You could Google Drabble.
Wow, that's a real sentence, isn't
that,
it?
That is a sentence in the year of our Lord 2016 that actually makes sense, is Google Drabble.
Hey, man, go Google Drabble. I know there's like a fat one and a skinny one, and they kind of have the same face. And there's like a duck?
Oh, yeah. No, it's that one. And the dad is... He's long suffering because I think his son is unemployed or something.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Drabble is probably like either their last name or like one of their names.
One of them.
Yeah.
I think it's like Mario. So the dad's name is Drabble.
Oh, yeah. And his son's name is Dribble, I think.
Yeah, Dribble Drabble.
Yeah.
I remember that great NES game, Dribble Drabble.
Oh, yeah. Dribble Drabble was a great game. You could play as Dribble Duck. Or no, is it Duck Drabble?
Oh, Duck Drabble. Private Eye.
I don't know. Okay, there you go. I don't remember anything about Drabble.
All right, well, welcome to the insane degree of madness that we have reached. We've completely lost our minds. Nothing makes sense anymore.
What was any... Can we keep any of this? We've been talking for like 15 minutes. I think we mentioned the concept of the show once in there.
Don't worry, I'm sure we'll get it in post.
Oh yeah, I'll just edit this in post. That's what I'll do. I'll make us talk faster.
Yeah, we'll just speed right through this.
I'll compress this all to 3 minutes. It'll come across as a high-pitched whine.
Oh, good. That's what the listeners want, is 3 minutes of high-pitched whine.
What they should probably do is check out Melody on Hey Dude.
Yeah, she's the only one who had a career.
Yeah. Wait, she did?
Yeah.
Okay.
She went on to do things.
And stuff.
Yeah, she was the only actress on there that actually did roles. I think she was on like the new Brady Bunch movies.
Oh, well.
Or something.
You know, you're going to need three vaguely young, vaguely blonde girls to do a Brady Bunch movie, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And they can't all be super famous.
No, and she's been in movies. She's done stuff. I know. It's like Christine something.
Taylor?
Maybe.
Hanson?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. All right.
Christine Taylor Hanson.
We just described her name for you. Now it's known for sure.
Yeah.
She'll be in Suicide Squad 2.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
So, rifts. Did you have a topic you wanted to discuss?
I kind of had a topic, and we've almost covered it.
Oh, okay. What was it?
It was going to be about things that are so bad, it's good again. Because someone had asked us about rifts and...
Oh, how we can justify being so like nice to it when it's clearly not a very well-designed game.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the general idea I wanted to have was just talk about things that were so bad that it's good again.
Okay.
I mean, almost like this podcast, except it doesn't quite reach good again.
No, I think it went through good and went right back around to bad.
Oh, yeah. We're just an Ouroboros of good and bad.
This is the Xbox 360 troll joke of podcasts so far.
Oh, good. So yeah, no, I was just thinking, like, for me, rifts being one of those things that's so insane and terrible on so many levels that I can't help but love it.
All right, now give me several other examples.
Okay, well, you know that I love horror movies, and that I especially love horror movies that are kind of shit.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a true thing about you.
Yeah, so for me, the whole idea of the so bad that it's good again, mm-hmm. like Wolf Cop. Wolf Cop was one of those horror movies that I'm like, this is terrible, but it knows it's terrible, and I love it.
I have to be honest, I never saw Wolf Cop. I've heard of it. I would love to see it. I feel like I saw Kung Fury, and that kind of made sense to me in that vein.
Yeah.
Also, I just saw something called Sunspring a couple days ago. Have you heard of that yet?
No.
Sunspring is a 9-minute-long sci-fi movie, and it's in the vein of, like, you know, Moon, one of those deep, thoughtful sci-fi movies where characters have long conversations directly into the camera. But, oh, and it stars Thomas Middleditch, who's a regular on Comedy Bang Bang and also is the star of Silicon Valley. But what makes Sunspring special is that it's the first movie that's done by doing that thing where people feed a bunch of fuel into a predictive text AI.
Yeah.
And then they just let it write a movie script and film that.
Good.
Yeah. And one of the things I noticed was listing all the movie scripts that they fed into it, and one of them was The Rage Carrie 2.
Why?
How did they even find that script?
Oh, man.
I feel like at that point you basically, because I don't even feel like that movie had a script. So what they probably fed into it was the transcript made by an obsessive fan.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like the two people I know of who have seen The Rage Carrie 2.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that it's also The Rage Carrie 2, not Carrie 2 The Rage.
I wonder if that was like a contract dispute thing. Like, the people who made Carrie saw it, they were like, no, you have to name it something that makes people... Well, it'll be the first thing that people see is not Carrie. They can't see Carrie first.
Yeah.
First of all, this movie doesn't even have a Carrie in it.
First of all, there is no Carrie. You can't call it Carrie 2 if you have no Carrie.
It really doesn't have one.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it stars like a Sasha or something else. I forget what it was.
Yeah, Sasha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, it stars Sasha Baron Cohen as Carrie. And instead of getting pig's blood dumped on him, it's naked fat guy taint.
Yay.
God damn it. Let's see. What are things I like that are so bad that they've warped back around to being good?
Most everything.
Yeah, well, mostly my music taste.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still listening to third wave ska like it's currently the third wave. Like, that hasn't stopped yet.
Yeah, but shit's great.
I'm still like, oh, man, I got the newest Hippos album. It came out in 1998.
It's so new.
Guys, did you check out the hottest new record from Royal Crown Review?
Have you checked out this hottest record from the Hot Hot Heat?
Man, this thing is the Reverend Horton Hot.
Heat.
Heat. Hot, 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 hot.
Heat.
No, can't do that. That's not... All right, so that's probably why we both like riffs, I guess, is because it warps back around. Although, riffs is, you know, I've listened to people describe why riffs is the way it is, where all the monsters have way too much MDC. It's because Symbieta writes the monsters after he plays them at conventions, and his games are famously like, oh, there's like 10 players sitting at the table here.
Yeah,
so that's,
that makes sense.
Yeah, except that no one plays riffs that way at home.
No.
Ever. I mean, you probably play riffs with, at most, 4 friends.
Although I did have a game that had like 10 people in it. So
of Rifts?
That. Oh, yeah.
I played an 11-person Dungeons & Dragons game once.
Ooh, man, that does not sound fun.
They let me play the druid I was, even though the DM was the kind of guy who normally wouldn't let you play druids because he didn't believe in true neutral. Like, oh my God, high school, right? But anyway.
Oh, man. He let my me play arm is not long enough for the jerk-off motion that is in my heart.
I know. It's, God, people in their weird interpretations of 2nd edition D&D were crazy. Like, oh, your character can't play a druid because he'll switch sides in the middle of the fight.
Yeah, as soon as you guys are winning, he's going to fight for the other guys.
Like, that's what druids are known for. That's the historical thing they were basing this class on, was crazy people that switch sides during fights.
Yeah, people who are so obsessed with the idea of everything being balanced that they cannot stand for anything else to happen.
Like, how do you get that in your head? How do you read the description of them? Oh, these are like nature priests. And they, like, use scimitars, and they... Basically, these are the guys who built Stonehenge, the class. Fine, I get that. And then there's one little description in the true neutral section that seems to have been fairly poorly written, and all of a sudden, all the DMs are like, these guys are insane, and they're just in ridiculous turncoats that constantly switch sides.
Yep, that's it.
What? How does that... That doesn't compute in the slightest.
Oh, yeah. No, that was it. It was true neutral would switch sides if you were winning, and chaotic neutral would switch sides if you were losing.
Yeah, or would switch sides for no reason, or would jump off a bridge for fun.
Mostly would just steal your stuff and then laugh.
Yeah, I feel like 2nd edition probably had the worst descriptions of alignments of any of the D&D books.
Probably.
Because I feel like that colored a lot of people's hatred or annoying fascination with chaotic neutral for like another decade or two. to the point where people are like, I'm totally chaotic neutral. I'm so lol random.
Oh my God. Look at all this monkey cheese.
Yeah. It was just because second edition did a shit job of describing all the alignments to the point where everyone was like, well, chaotic neutral people are just random insanos.
Oh, insanos.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's my favorite breakfast cereal. It's the only Juggalo approved breakfast cereal.
Insanos. They're B-shaped.
Why they call... And when we say that, we mean a bee. Yeah, like an actual little animal bee.
Oh my God, John. We should answer some questions.
Probably.
We need structure.
Yeah, someone needs to just point us in a direction to do something, because right now we are meandering the road of insanity.
None of this makes sense. We really need a book to review or some questions, and thankfully, I have some questions.
Thankfully, we have a book to review.
Which is why we're bringing you the book that everyone's been wanting us to review, and we're going to review it only for like 20 minutes in the back half of an Afterthought episode.
It's Madame Bovary.
God damn it. That's right. We're going to read The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
And then we'll be right back with our review. Welcome to the System Mastery Book Club.
And we'll be right back after this music. Oh, shit, John. I accidentally read A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius.
Oh, no. Why would you do that?
It was a mistake. I read it by accident.
It was just open in front of me, and I could not.
No, I could. All right. So this first question calls to be read as if we were System Mastery dwarfs.
All right. Hey, you can always be better as a dwarf, GTL, bro. Gold titanium and getting laid. Hey.
Good work. And then he also asks, chocolate or fruit candy?
Oh, I mean, it depends on what I'm in the mood for. If I want something that's more like an actual substantial thing, I'm probably going to go for chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the fruit candy as like the hard fruit candy.
Okay, like a lifesaver?
Yeah, like you give me a watermelon Jolly Rancher and I'm a happy fella.
Blah.
Oh, watermelon Jolly Rancher is the best.
Yeah, I can't do it. Especially, there are two flavors of fruit candy I can't handle. One of them is watermelon and the other one's banana. And it's because neither one tastes even slightly like the fruit they're supposed to.
Oh, that's true. And that's why I love it. I love fake watermelon.
Do you like real watermelon?
I hate real watermelon.
You only like the flavor of... How did you find that out? How did you get to the point where you're like, well, I hate watermelon dramatically, but give me that candy?
It was the other way around. I think I had fake watermelon before I ever had watermelon. And then someone was like, here, have this watermelon. I'm like, oh, what is this garbage? What is this mushy water? Fuck you. I don't want this. What are you? You give me some mealy, water-soaked shenanigans? What is this, fibers and seeds? Oh, get out of here. This is terrible.
I love regular watermelon.
Watermelon is shit. And you should feel bad for liking it.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm mostly a fruit candy person. I really like fruit jellies, like just straight up. My personal favorite is, you can only find them at candy stores, but the little wedges that are shaped like grapefruit chunks. So grapefruit, like chewy chunks of candy, that's my favorite thing. And I know I can see John over there just dismissing me entirely because he hates grapefruit in all forms.
Yeah, I do.
I love grapefruit in every form.
I like grapes. I like fruit. I don't like grapefruit.
Together at last. What about fruit grapes? You okay with that?
I'm fine with fruit grapes.
How are you on Fruit Brute, the cereal that went along with like Yummy Mummy and so on, but is long since gone? Fruit Brute, the werewolf one.
I never had Fruit Brute.
No, because it was discontinued in like 1977. So.
Also because growing up, I never had any of those cereals.
You never had any Boo Berry?
No, because we never got any of the sugary cereals.
Oh, okay. I didn't have Boo Berry until I was an adult, and I saw it in a store, and I was like, holy shit, Boo Berry! I've only ever heard of this, so I'm going to try it. And it turns out it just tastes like vaguely fruity, like Lucky Charms.
Okay, I was going to say, so what, it's basically just like fucking Trix or something?
It's blue Lucky Charms. It's got the marshmallows, so it's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's blue Lucky Charms, the end.
Yay.
So, but anyway, I'm a fruit candy kind of guy before chocolate. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like chocolate, but fruit candy first.
Okay.
So there you go. Thank you very much for the questions, Blake S. Let's move on to North Star, who says, Dear Jeff and John, great episodes on riffs. You seem to know more than is healthy about the material, especially as riff seems to take a kitchen sink full of cocaine approach to what it includes. Kudos, I guess. A couple of questions. Number one, a juicer, a dog boy, and a cheese dude staff member walk into a bar. Only one leaves. Who was it and why?
Well, it was definitely the cheese dude staff member. because he was the only one that didn't have the credits in order to buy anything at the bar.
That is correct. Also, he was only on break, so he didn't have very long to be in there.
Yeah. So the
average
had to leave.
Yeah, Cheese Dude's staff member job on average is like 23 hours plus 1 hour for break.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never leave. It's like the Hotel California, but a little tiny crappy restaurant.
It's like the Hotel California, but slightly less heroin.
Nice. Also, it doesn't smell like colitas. Also, what are colitas?
Well, first you got to get them all warm.
I know. The warm scent of, well, you just need their scent to be warm, actually. You don't need them to be warm.
The smell is very warm.
Yeah, you get that warm smell of colitas, which is not a thing, rising up through the air.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're both agreeing as the Cheese Dude staff member, but for no goddamn reason.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, what systems are your favorites in which to be a player, and what systems do you prefer to GM?
I definitely prefer crunchier systems if I'm going to be a player, because I am one of those people that really likes to go in and fiddle with numbers and dick around and make stupid combos. And I mean, in Magic, I'm the type of person that builds a deck that is very Johnny deck. I want a stupid combo that never works, but when it does, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I build a character, I want a crunchy system that I can be like, look at all this stupid crap I made. However, when I'm running it, I want a rules light system because I improv everything when I GM. Like, I don't even write notes to myself.
Yeah, I know. It's infuriating, but it's true.
Oh, yeah. No, when I run a game, I have in my mind a base idea of what will happen and then just go off on anything.
So I like to play in games that have a lot of tactical knowledge. So I like playing in games that are like almost XCOM levels of, okay, you have to move your character here, and then once you move there, you can kind of consider if you should be doing diagonal or forward motion. That's why I liked D&D 4th Edition and Gamma World so much, because they were so grid-focused. So I like grid and hex-based games that I can play in, so I can spend a lot of time thinking about the kind of layers of where the world is and get spatially aware. Another one that really works for me in that respect is Iron Kingdoms, which doesn't use a grid, but straight up uses inch measurement systems.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot.
It is just the War Machine game as a role-playing game.
Yeah, which is fine. Works perfectly for me. And then when I'm running games, I really like to run, and I know this is switching genres or descriptions of genres entirely, but I like to run superhero games because it's really fun to come up with villains.
True.
That's my favorite thing, is to come up with crazy supervillains for people to fight. So I like to run, like, you know, Marvel superheroes role-playing or Heroes Unlimited, that kind of thing, so I can come up with crazy supervillains for people to fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would do that, but again, I would completely improv anything, so I didn't even know what the villain was until they got there, and then I would random roll it, and then it would be... I think at one point I had Infinite Santas as one of mine, and his whole power set was... He was a mall Santa that got hit by some beam of radiation, and his two major powers were the power to split off yourself, the multiple selves,
okay,
and then copy power.
Mm-hmm.
So he could, because normally when you split off yourself, the selves you split off don't have all of your powers except the power to make more selves. However, if you have the power of copy power, they copy the original guy's power to make copies, so he just makes infinite versions of himself.
Wow, he's like the gray goo of Santas.
Yeah, so they opened up a building and just Santas poured out, and it was a wave of Santas.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love it. Okay, let's see. On your Patreon, at the $10, it shouldn't be $10 a week level, but $10 per episode of System Mastery level, would one earn multiple opportunities to have something read on air by you two, or is one reading the max? All right, so to explain that, our Patreon has it set up so that if you subscribe at a $10 level, which just means that every time a System Mastery episode comes out, like, for example, this is not a System Mastery episode, this is an afterthought, so it's really only like once every 2 weeks that we charge at that level. If you do it for five episodes, then you can send us something, and as long as we can read it in under 5 minutes, we will read it on the air.
Yeah.
Also, as long as it's not, like, racist or sexist. Yeah. It's got to be... There's certain bounds of good taste. But otherwise, we will read whatever the hell you send us on the air. Now, I probably should let people who are supporting us at the $10 or more level know that it doesn't alert us to when you've done more than five episodes. So if you think you have, send me an email. send an email to systemmastery@gmail.com.
You know, this is an arbitrary thing that we have set up, not anything that we have an alert for or that we actively track.
There's no powers over it, so if you think you've earned that rank, send me an email and I'll check.
Or if anybody wants to be an intern for us, completely unpaid, but you'll get great exposure, and you want to track who's giving
you're
going to
get
$10.
Great exposure, because we're going to expose ourselves to you. You're going to need Snapchat in order to be our intern.
Yeah, that's it.
A constant stream of dick pics shall be your subheading.
I need you to give a little floral wreath to my dick and send
now
that
mine,
to people.
Mine likes a little superhero costume, a little cape.
Look, I want some dog ears and a tongue coming out of my Johnson.
What I want you to do is use this dick pic I'm going to send you, and then use that face swap thing. I think you can figure it out from there, intern. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, intern.
But again, if you've been supporting us at the $10 level and you think it's about time for you to send us a reading, you're probably right. So just drop me an email, and I will check, and I will do your reading for you. Or maybe John will. Who knows? But we'd be happy to support those. And to answer the original question, you can keep doing them. You can have a reading on our show every 10 weeks if you want by just supporting us at the $10 a week level or $10 an episode level.
I mean, come on. It's not like you're really eating into our quality time here on the Afterthought.
Well,
with that amazing beginning intro to this, that quality podcasting we started with.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how we could make time for anything more.
We probably have to cut some of that. I mean, do we cut the part where we were talking about Puddle of Mud, or do we... cut the part we were talking about, hey, dude? I don't know.
Who knows?
All right. So, like I said, you can keep reading. You can keep sending in readings as often as you like, as long as you've hit that support level that you're supposed to. So, check out the Patreon. You can see how that all works. And remember, if you think you've earned a reading, you almost definitely have. Drop us an email at systemmastery@gmail.com, and we'll get you on there. Thanks, North Star. Next question from Cal W., and he asks, you're in charge of creating new regional source books for Rifts. What will you put in Spain, New Zealand, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, and the moon? I don't care what's already there.
All right.
All right, let's just handle these in order. Let's see. Of course, Spain is going to have Borg Matadors.
Well, you're going to have the... I mean, you already have the Conquistador armor from South America.
Yeah, you're going to have some of
but
that.
We're going to have a Conquistador OCC.
Yeah, okay, so a Conquistador OCC, a Borgador, which is a robot... Matador.
We're going to have...
one of its arms is a robot that dispenses flags, red flags.
There's going to be a huge kingdom that exists there. One of the people in charge is obviously going to be some kind of alien intelligence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're going to have three super robots, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
For love of God. You know like three things about Spain, don't you?
Yes, that is correct.
You're probably mad that I made the Borgador just so you couldn't make the Christopher Columborg.
No, we'll go ahead and say one of the people you meet is a feral wolfen,
mm-hmm.
and he's Don Coyote.
The Don Coyotes. It's a new race.
The Don Coyotes and his little helper, Sancho Panda.
Of course. Why not?
If anybody remembers that cartoon, thanks.
Great. All right, let's see. What was next? New Zealand.
New Zealand has a bunch of kiwis.
Exploding robot sheep.
Just so many kiwis.
Giant rideable kiwis.
Yeah.
Yeah, giant fury kiwis, they're called.
The fury kiwis.
Fury kiwis are a 14-foot tall kiwi with bunches and bunches of tiny kiwi legs that they roll around on. Let's see. Cyber giant squid. And, of course, the Maori are going to be back in a big way.
Of course.
Yeah, so you're going to have all kinds of Maori culture happening. Human supremacy. You're going to have one big part of... Let's say I'm going to pick a random city in New Zealand and say Christchurch has been completely taken over by humans that are in connection to the coalition somehow and have built their own little society of all humans, and they hate the DBs that are all over the island. And, of course, the Maoris... Well, back in a big way, also their tribal culture is back in a big way, because that's a Rifts thing.
Yeah.
So all these Maori that were like, oh yeah, we're heavily involved in New Zealand government, and we're modernized. And no, now they're all back to wearing Maori tribal garb and doing that cool haka dance.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all. That's all they do now. We're wielding big wooden oars, because that's what happens in the future, is everyone who's even slightly not
vibro
white...
Vibro oars.
Vibro oars. Can't wait to get back to their cultural roots. Okay, let's see. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
It turns out that patch was sentient the whole time.
Yeah, it's one giant,
a giant AI.
Yeah, it's a giant AI that's made out of floating garbage. What people always thought was complicated tidal float patterns was actually its inner brain workings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's taken the name Billy.
Obviously.
Yeah, because all the giant robots and Rifts are named things like Archie. So yeah, its name is Billy, and it's the giant...
Its name is Jughead, and it hates the Archie robot.
It hates the Archie robot. Why isn't it called Reggie then?
hey, don't ask me. This is Symbiata. No, he's named Junkhead. I'm sorry.
Junkhead.
There we go.
So the giant Pacific garbage patch is named Junkhead. It sends out giant mechanical garbage golems.
And it gets all of the burgers.
Okay. It has to get all the burgers in the world.
Yeah.
So it can open a ley line or something.
That's its plan.
That's its fake plan. All right. And the moon.
The moon has nothing. Nothing on the moon.
Nothing. With footprints led by a dead man in the dust.
It has our hopes and dreams.
No, let's see. The moon is cracked in half, and one side sprouted giant eyes, and now it just talks like a super floating space Pac-Man.
All right. Sure. Why not?
I don't know. Glitter boys?
Yeah, glitter boys.
Glitter boys.
There's the lunar boys are up there.
The lunar boys, which instead of being glitter boys, it's just like a 1960s British gang.
Yeah, the lunar boys.
You don't want to cross the lunar boys.
I what?
Hey, what? They'll get you on their lorries, they will.
Bash your head in, swear to me, Mom.
So there you go. There's the gang from A Clockwork Orange is up there in spacesuits.
Yeah. A bit of the ultra-lunar violence.
Yeah, that's what's happening. My droogs. Okay, and he also asks, what's the coolest magic in an RPG, both gameplay and narrative?
The coolest magic.
I don't really know how to define that question, so maybe he just means the best spell?
Or like what magic system or thing you like? I don't know. Oh, okay.
Just pick your own.
My favorite magic.
Sure, yeah.
That was a great sitcom.
The Gathering. The Gathering.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, my favorite magic, sure.
Yeah. okay, best magic for me, I'm gonna go with... Man, I don't even know. I kind of don't like magic in most systems.
Just pick a spell you like.
Okay. Let's go ahead and say Dimension Door.
Oh, well, okay. From what game? Are we talking Rift's Dimension Door?
No.
Because D&D, that's a psionic power.
No. In that, it is a magic spell. You can open up a Dimension Door.
Okay. The listeners are going to bear me out on this one, but I'm going to... For now, let's assume you're right.
Yeah. There's a fourth level teleportation spell called Dimension Door.
Okay.
And you just open up a door and teleport.
Nice. I do like that spell. I liked it a lot when it was a psionic power, and I was abusing the hell out of it back in second edition as well.
Yeah. In third edition, however, it was just regular old wizards.
Fair enough. Because
wizards got everything.
In third edition, psionics were a joke. They were just sad tidings. Let's see. I'm going to say my favorite spell of all time. Carpet of Adhesion from Rifts. For a couple of different uses. I used to love to cast it on walls and then cling to them. So I could just hang up there. That was a great way to use it. I played a lot of sniper wizards when I was playing Rifts. And they'd always be like, carpet of adhesion on the side of that building. And then I'm going to stick myself up there and shoot people.
Good job.
Yeah. All right. So there you go.
Oh, wait. No. I got it now. It's Ooh. Wild magic. It's wild, wild magic. It's always wild magic.
Of course you're going to like that nonsense.
Of course it is. It's got a dumb chart and I love it.
Yep. You love your dumb charts.
I do. I like stupid random chance.
Leland loves his blood on the windshield.
Toy Store.
Okay. That's for the three people who have seen that.
Yeah. Toy Cack. Look it up.
All right. Dear Jeff and John. Thanks, Cal W., by the way. Dear Jeff and John, the podcasters that walk like men. Not really.
Well.
Yeah, we shamble like men. Like sleepy
like
men.
Old, sleepy men.
Yeah. I have a friend with whom I play D&D.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's go ahead and solve that problem for you.
All right, well, condolences.
Okay, the first thing you need to consider to do in this situation is hire a sex worker.
Why?
It's a Savage Love joke. That's always his advice, is either ethically cheat on your partner or hire a sex worker.
That's a weird thing to always
I know. Anyway, I have a friend with whom I play D&D. He's pretty fun to hang around with. However, I recently made some troubling discoveries about him. First, he's a religious Alex Jones listener. Okay, so first of all, does he listen to Alex Jones religiously, like all the time? Or is he religious and he listens to Alex Jones?
I'm pretty sure you have to be the one to do the other.
Okay, fair enough. And believes that 9/11 was an inside job and that chemtrails are real. Second, he's a Trump supporter. Third, he uses the T slur while talking about trans folk. Finally, apparently he and his girlfriend used to wait tables at a Cracker Barrel and now believes that African Americans are lousy tippers and constantly trying to scam waitstaff. He doesn't bring this stuff up unprompted, So I guess I could keep hanging out with him and just not talk about politics or minorities, but, like, should I be hanging out with a dude who, although he's super nice and fun to be around, still has such horrible beliefs?
Probably not, no.
Thanks, Lawrence. Oof, man, that is rough. There's a lot of problems there.
That's enough that when I was reading that question to begin with before we started the show, I was like, is that real? Like, is this...
Yeah, John,
did you just keep adding on to make it more ridiculous?
It's real. I went on Wikipedia and checked, and it turns out there actually is a restaurant called Cracker Barrel.
That's so racist, though.
I couldn't
believe it.
It's nonsense. I mean, the rest of the country is insane. A restaurant called Cracker Barrel? Get the fuck out of town.
You know what's amazing? Hmm? Never eaten at the Cracker Barrel, but been in them all the time. Because when we would do road trips,
yeah,
we'd stop at a Cracker Barrel specifically to get, like, candy and some more audio tapes. We'd get the books on tape.
Wow. Okay, I've never eaten at a Cracker Barrel. I have, however, shopped at a Piggly Wiggly, and I have eaten at a Waffle House.
Well, there you go. You got me up on the Piggly Wiggly. Never shopped at one.
Okay. Anyway, no, this dude sounds horrifying. It's nice that he's keeping it quiet in the meantime. You know, I've got a good friend who's a chemtrail believer. So I can kind of forgive that one.
Yeah,
I just gotta tell her to quit talking about it, and that works well enough.
See, but at least with the chemtrail thing, you're like, wow, you're kind of deluded. Same thing, sort of, with the 9/11 was an inside job. You're like, man, that's real dumb, and that okay, sure.
But at
fine,
least
whatever.
You're not. At least it's not informing how you treat other people.
Yeah, at least at that point, you're like, I have a distrust of the government. You're like, well, that's probably healthy. It's functioning through a weird lens.
Yeah,
but all right, whatever. But when you start going like, oh yeah, and then he's also just a terrible person to anyone that is a minority, you're like,
yeah,
well, time to go.
Yeah, and you know the whole trans thing, it's so easy to treat trans people correctly.
Yeah,
it's so easy. What gender are they did they tell you they are? They are that gender. You're done.
Hooray.
All right, that was tricky. Boy, that took me a long time to figure out. No, I probably should keep calling them some engine parts names so that makes sense. No, but yeah, anyway, I don't know. It depends on how much you're spending time hanging around with this guy and gaming with him. I've played, you know, games in the game store with some people who I'm pretty sure are horrible people.
Yeah, and I don't do it anymore.
No,
like,
me either.
I can't.
I've hit the point where the patience has run out.
No, as a younger lad, when you get into that geek social fallacy of you can't exclude anyone because, oh, well, we were picked on, so now I can't exclude anyone because we're a big family. And okay, no, there's a point where you're like, oh, wait a minute, this person is awful, I shouldn't be around them.
Yeah.
And you realize that as you get older, where you're like, oh, I don't actually have to accept this person because they have the same hobby. I need to just accept people who aren't awful.
Yeah. And you know, not to drag out the language of the internet, but ultimately, being able to hang around with a horrible, racist, bigoty person like that is a privileged thing. You can get away with it with hanging around with them because you're probably a white dude, so he's ignoring you instead of calling you like the stuff he's calling other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, put yourself in the skin of a black trans person. Would a black trans person want to play games with that guy?
No.
No. So, maybe you don't need to either.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Next.
Also, he supports Trump. Jesus Christ. Get out.
Oh, my God. That's the worst. Okay. All right. Moving on. I really don't. I want so few emails, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Hola, pendejos y pendejoritas. Questions. What is the dumbest thing in the Star Wars Expanded Universe?
Well, Jeff?
I'm going to go ahead and field this one. The dumbest thing in the Expanded Universe is the, let's see, I forget what the final name of it is, but it's the one where Luke is hanging out on something called Cersei Station, and he meets a giant ball of goo and scales named Waru, who's from another dimension and is like a sad blob that can eat people and give other people force powers briefly. It's just so not Star Wars that it's insane. Anyway, I think it's in a book by Karen Travis. Just annoying garbage. Also, let's see, the naming convention where you can tell someone if someone's a clone or not by how many U's they have in their name. So, for example, Luke Skywalker, not a clone. Luke Skywalker, probably a clone. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. No, I believe you. You could say whatever dumb nonsense about the Expanded Universe, and I'll be like, yeah, okay.
Also, I'm going to go ahead and say the courtship of Princess Leia, probably the worst Star Wars Expanded Universe book. It features Han winning a planet in a game of space poker. There's a sequence where he knocks Princess Leia unconscious. No, he doesn't knock her unconscious. He shoots her with a gun of mind control and then takes her to the planet he won in a card game to force her to fall in love with and marry him.
Wow.
Yeah, if you ever wondered about the story of how Luke and Leia got married in the whole expanded universe.
Yeah, that's how Luke and Leia got married.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. That's even crazier. No, Han and Leia got married because he shoots her with a mind control ray and then forces her to fall in love with him while a prince named Isolde chases them around.
Ah, the classic tales.
Right, Isolde, right? I'm just amazed there wasn't also a Tristan running around in that book. I mean, get down to it. The sex politics of a lot of the expanded universe books are probably the creepiest thing about Star Wars books. The guy who falls in love with a woman who lives only to disembowel her mates. The lizard man who is super handsome, but also has he's bright green, super handsome, a lizard man, and he has sex pheromones that he uses to seduce Leia.
Wow.
No, this is all stuff. I mean, there are people out there who read these books right now who are just naming these off as I go through. They're like, oh, that's fucking Tales from the Cantina. Oh, that's Shadow of the Empire. I know exactly where he's coming from.
Wow.
Anyway, so there you go. Number two. Oh, I have to feel this one too, John. I'm sorry. Am I allowed to hate the new Star Wars for being incredibly derivative of A New Hope and be skeptical of the new Ghostbusters for having a terrible trailer while still liking that they have female leads? Like, will the internet allow that? So I'm going to go ahead and answer this one. Yes. Now shut the fuck up about it.
Does that get
the point across, right? Just, yes, fine. You can hate the Ghostbusters movie for whatever fucking reason you want. Just stop talking about it.
Yeah, well, the problem is that when someone who's like, oh, yeah, that's great that they have female leads, is then going, oh, I didn't like it because whatever, you're just adding to the chorus of people who are like, meh, these ladies, meh.
Yeah, it's not necessary. There are 15 movies coming out this month that are stupid as shit, and the internet has decided collectively to not talk about them. No, it's just Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Just stop. Just, it's fine. You don't have to see it. You don't have to like it. You also don't have to contribute to the chorus.
Also, it's not even out yet. It might actually be good.
Who knows? We don't know. I mean, I'm kind of excited to see it. But ultimately, I don't need to contribute to this conversation. It's a long way away. Doesn't matter how bad the trailer was. Let's see. Jeff, if John were one of the changing breeds from Old World of Darkness, which one would he be? John, same question about Jeff. I'm going to go ahead and be honest here. I haven't read that.
All right. Well, you'd be a rabbit.
A rabbit?
Yeah, you'd be one of the rabbits.
See, he's saying remember that the insult answers are Nuisha, Rankin, and Korax.
All right. Well, you'd be a Rankin Bass.
Yeah, I was going to think Rankin Bass is the only thing I could reach into and grab there. I think Korax is one of the bad guy types in City of Heroes.
Oh, yeah. The Korallax.
The Korallax. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the there Coral you go. Guys.
Referencing a dead MMO.
Yeah.
We've got you covered. I haven't read that, but I'm going to say that if John was any kind of insult answer of a changing breeds World of Darkness creature, he'd be a were-sloth.
Well, they aren't even were. They're just weird animal people. They're like different from werewolves because you can be a wolf changing breed and okay. Not a werewolf.
Oh god, that is,
yeah, no, you have no idea. It is some garbage.
And wasn't that written by Satiros Phil Brocato?
Yes, by Satiric Phil.
Yes, Satiric. Well, I was gonna say Satiricon.
Oh, Satiricon.
Come to Satiricon and then leave immediately because it's gross. See the famous naked guy Ed Greenwood and his made-up friend Bruce. All right. Let's see. Anyway, thanks for the question. I'm sorry we haven't read that book yet. We'll get to it at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Changing breeds. Next question. Yo, broskies, what's the deal with 4th edition? Why do people hate it so bad? Why do you guys love it so much? Is it really more balanced than 3.5? Thanks, Vor Vados. Oh, by the way, last question came to us from Nemeni Niemad. Thank you.
There you go.
There you go. Next, this question. What's the deal with 4th edition? Hey, what's the deal with 4th edition?
Wow.
My
that
terrible
was,
Seinfeld. You do it.
The worst
you do
Seinfeld
it.
Ever.
You do it. I know. I went old Jewish at the end there.
Yeah, you went like Jerry Stiller.
Yeah. Well, that's Ben Stiller's dad. Fine. Yeah. Well, you do it then.
And what's the deal with 4th edition?
Thank you. That's way better.
There
you're
you
right.
Thank
it's
you.
It had a lot of Letterman in it, but it's okay. All right. So what is the deal with 4th edition?
To answer the third question first, yes, it is way more balanced.
Yeah.
The reason people don't like it is because it is way more balanced.
The reason people don't like it is because the internet.
Well, also that, but yeah. There, a lot of people don't like it because of the balance. There are a lot of people that are like, no, I want to be able to be crazy, ridiculous, awesome. I want to be able to have a wizard that just wins all the time.
Well, mostly the idea being that I want the fact that I've been playing this game for 10 years to matter.
Yeah.
Is what people like about third edition is they go, I'm so good at D&D.
Yeah, well, they'll couch it in the language of, oh, I can't be creative anymore. And you're like, no, but you aren't. You're going to play the same mage with the same spells every time because you know it wins.
Yeah, so anyway, but that's getting off topic. Third edition is a fine game. All the shit you hear when people are like, oh, huge excesses. You can blow up the moon. You can create a character at level one that casts wishes all he wants. No one actually does those things. Those are all just internet experiments.
Yeah.
The games of third edition that both John and I have played have not been crazy nonsense.
No.
It's just D&D. You can play it, and it's fine. And we don't dislike 3rd edition or 3.5. 4th edition is just also a good game.
Yeah, I think 4th edition just spoke more to us because 3rd edition D&D and a lot of the other editions of D&D, you can find a lot of those around. If you want to play a D&D alike, mm-hmm. you can do that real easily. 4th edition, with the way that the powers worked, all of the structures for how everyone interplayed, it was different enough from everything else that was out there that it actually was, oh, sweet, I'm getting a new game instead of just a new edition.
And it kicked off a sort of reactionary response to that, and that's why a lot of people didn't like it, and then that just sort of ballooned on the internet.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, we like 4th edition because, I don't know, we aren't sheeple? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wake up. Get woke.
Yeah. Google Jonathan tweet.
Google my tweets.
Google Ron Heinsu. Okay. All right. Next
Google Drabble.
Google Drabble. Next question comes to us from Michael M. Probably Michael Moore, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Or Michael
Michael Madsen.
Or Michael Madonna.
Yeah,
Michael Madonna.
Michael Madonna.
That's his first name. Or Madonna's real first name.
He's little known fact.
Never
Madonna's
told anyone.
His first name is Michael. That's why she just goes by Madonna.
Yeah, that's why she signs things Michael M without a comma to indicate which one of those. Perfect sense. Hello, Jefferson and John Adams. I have a few questions for you this week. Number one, what sketch show character should have a movie but does not? Ooh, I can do this one right off the bat and make you feel bad that you let me go first. Yeah.
Okay.
Forville the Tiny Orphan Boy.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Look him up if you want. He's from Comedy Bang Bang, which is really more of a podcast, but he's on the TV show, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so he is a sketch character that exists on television, and he totally deserves his own movie. Wandering around, stabbing people with a
looking
frozen
for
ham.
Scraps.
Looking for scraps and trying to avoid eating Jay Davidson's penis.
Great, then I'll take Andrew Lloyd Webber. Lord Andrew Lloyd Lord Webber.
Dame Lord Sir Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber. Very good. All right, so that's our first answer. Number two, what is your porn name? And he specifically is referring the first pet, first street you grew up on version.
Tiger Nichols.
Tiger Nichols? That's a good one.
Yeah, Tiger Nichols.
Yeah, I like that. Mine is Roja Zacon.
Wow, that's real weird.
Right? I know. Roja is Spanish or German, depending on which way you look at it, for red.
Yeah.
And we had an Irish setter who was very red, and I grew literally up on Zacon Street.
Man.
Yeah, Zacon's a weird word, I know. But Roja Zacon.
Man, that sounds like you would be in sci-fi porn.
Right? I fear Roja Zacon.
Roja Zacon.
The year is 21XX. Cyber soldier Roja Zacon has to lay some pipe. Okay, now I want to see that.
Okay, well.
All right, excuse me, guys. It's time for us to be done with this episode so I can go film cyber porn with a John Carpenter score.
Sweet. I'm going to go get the Casio.
Yeah. What was the other version? It's like middle name, mother's maiden name, I want to say.
Oh, that just doesn't sound like anything.
No, mine turns out to be James Hall, which isn't all that interesting.
No.
Yeah, so anyway.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was first 8 digits of your credit card and then the last 8 digits of your credit card.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Okay. Yeah, okay. John, why don't you go ahead and give us your other porn name? It's your social security number first and then a list of your fears.
All right. Excellent.
Let's see. Which Nintendo series other than Zelda would make for a good tabletop RPG? So it's got to be a series, huh?
Yeah. So it has to be more than one.
Okay.
So obviously I'm going to go with Mike Tyson's Punch-Out or just Punch-Out.
Okay, it's got to be just Punch-Out if it's that.
Yeah, it's just Punch-Out.
Sure. All right.
And, you know, you got to basically do the Street Fighter is basically what the game is going to be.
All right. I wonder if by Nintendo series, does he mean games that were playable on Nintendo, or does he mean it has
one's
to be one
made
of those
by Nintendo.
One of those core Nintendos?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, I'm going to go with Pikmin.
Okay.
I feel like Pikmin would
that
make
makes
a,
sense.
Pikmin would make a really, really good RPG series. You play as the little spacesuit guys, and your powers basically relate to how many of the little Pikmins you can control and which colors of Pikmin you have an affinity for.
Sweet. You know what I'm going to go with? Is Pokemon. Eat a dick.
Oh, you piece of shit. The Pokemon's already several RPGs made by fans way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
An actual for reals RPG.
Fair enough. Okay.
There you go. Ha ha ha.
So Pikmin and Pokemon.
Taste it.
I'm just going to go with Smash Brothers. Fuck it.
Smash Brothers. There you go. That's what it should be. That's a video game that should be an RPG.
Yeah,
is Smash Brothers. You play as a figurine that comes to life.
It has to fight a giant hand. Along the way, you'll earn so many stickers.
So many stickers, you guys.
All right. Number four. A father and his son are in a car accident. The father dies instantly, and the son is taken to the nearest hospital. The doctor comes in and exclaims, "I can't operate on this boy." "Why not?" the nurse asks. "Because he's my son," the doctor responds. "What do I have in my pocket?"
Lint, probably.
Yeah, I'm going to say your cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keys.
Probably some keys. I'm going to say a half-eaten slice of pizza.
I'm going to say one full hot dog.
No bun?
No bun.
Just
the
wiener?
Hot dog.
Just the wiener?
Yeah.
It's just a hot
cold.
Dog. One cold hot dog.
Fresh from the fridge.
I'm going to change my answer to that, and we're going to agree that you have two full cold hot dogs in your pockets.
Yeah. One each.
Let us know if we're right, Michael Moore.
Thanks.
Hey, it's Michael Moore. It's very likely he has
If it is Michael Moore.
Two cold hot dogs in his pockets.
If it's Michael Madonna, however, it's probably a rhinestone hot dog.
Like a rhinestone hot dog. We're old. All right. We got time for one more here. That was from Michael M. This is the last question, John. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
The year is 2138. You're a cop. Specifically a cop in one of the colonies on Deimos, one of the moons of Mars. You've recently become a detective, and you've been partnered with a more senior, gruff detective, Horatio, who's approaching retirement in the next few years. Everyone calls you Farm Boy because you're the first detective born and raised on the Martian yeast farms. Your first big case as a detective involves a serial killer known as the Wasp. He has a habit of killing his victims and leaving clues on their stomachs, mimicking the tarantula hawk. You encounter him in the sewers, but he evades you. Years go by. The trail goes cold. The cold case troubles you. You become obsessed. Horatio goes missing shortly after his retirement party at work. 2 days before his planned retirement date, his body is found. Initially, a heart attack is suspected, but at your urging, the ME checks his body and you find telltale signs which match the Wasp. The ME splits open the body. He is full of hot dogs, many varieties and condiments, individually wrapped. Do you eat the hot dog?
Okay, well, first I have a question.
Yeah.
So is the Wasp known to poison people?
Okay, so what's the MO on it? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take the role of the person who answers questions
here.
Thank
you.
All right, great. No, the Wasp is not a poisoner. He primarily kills people through stinging them to death with blades that he calls his stingers. However, he does eventually cut open their stomachs and fill them with things before meticulously sewing them back up.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, how good of a chef are we talking here for the Wasp?
How good of a chef is the Wasp?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Wasp is actually probably, according to the research that you've done in the past, a retired chef.
Ooh.
In fact, he might even be Michelin starred. However, there's no way to know for certain that these hot dogs in the stomach of the victim were cooked or prepared by the Wasp.
All right. Are they still warm, or are they now cold?
John.
Like the case.
They're 98.6 degrees.
They are banned 98 degrees.
That's correct. They're the banned 98 degrees.
These hot dogs were made from the banned 98 degrees.
The year is 2138. Clones of 98 degrees are turned into hot dogs on the regular.
On the reg. Okay. Well, varieties and condiments. I mean, I feel like I feel like I would be doing a disservice to his memory if I didn't eat at least one of them.
Right, and they are individually wrapped, which means they don't have goo all over them.
Oh, I know.
Unless it's some sort of condiment goo that they're supposed to have on them.
Yeah, well, that is my favorite condiment for a hot dog is goo.
Goo.
Every time I go in, they're like, oh, we got ketchup and mustard and relish. And I'm like, how's your goo?
Do you have any goo?
How's the goo today?
And then they check their goo well to see if they've got any burble and goo ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you get in there late in the afternoon and the goo's you go, hey, can you give me the goo? And it's, no, they're all out of goo.
The goo's crusted over.
Get that crusted goo.
You're going to need to bring in a goo pick if you want goo at 4 o'clock, my friend.
Now, of course, you get some rice, you get a bit of that crunchy goo underneath it. Ooh, boy, you got some eating going.
Jesus Christ. Answer the damn question.
Okay, yes.
You eat the hot dog.
Yeah, I will eat a hot dog.
Very good. Now, in the cold tradition of hot dog questions, there are no right or wrong answers.
Yes.
You have merely chosen to eat a hot dog out of your dead detective friend.
Yeah, there is no follow-up. There is just the answer.
That's correct. Good. So thank you so much, Jeremiah N., for an exceptional hot dog question. All right, I think we're probably done for the week. John, did you have anything else you wanted to contribute?
Man, I think we were done before we started.
Yeah, we might want to re-record the start of this one, right? No, we don't. No. We don't
want
to do that.
No, we might want to, but we're not going to.
We have a party to get to.
Oh, yeah, we got to go places. We got things to do. We're important people. We're men about town.
Just
gadflies.
Just social gadflies. Just rakes. International bon vivants. That's us.
Yep, gallants about town.
All right. Well, in that case, I think we'll probably wrap this up.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to Afterthought. As always, we have been the System Mastery guys. You can find us at our website, SystemMasteryPodcast.com, where you can find our mini game and movie reviews. None of them are taken seriously, but more of them are taken seriously than this one.
Yeah, I don't think it would be difficult to find one of our podcasts that was taken less seriously.
I don't know. Our afterthoughts have been devolving recently.
Just into goo. Soon we will be able to pour this afterthought over a hot dog.
I think in 2 weeks our afterthought's just going to be a bunch of hoots and screams.
You're going to turn it on and it's just static and people yelling.
Yeah, people yelling in Latin. Liberate tuteme, ex afterthought. That was an Event Horizon reference.
Yay.
All right, there you go. So as always, you can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com, or you can send your questions to us at SystemMastery@gmail, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Believe it or not, we're called System Mastery at both of those places. Support us on Patreon if you want to get our bonus content episodes, soon to include actual play content in addition to our regular bonus content episodes that follow System Mastery. We have two of them in the tank. Two, people. And they'll be coming out as bonus content specifically.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening. Hopefully next episode's a little more serious. And have a good week. From Family Ties.
Family Ties. You remember that show?
I remember that they had a guy named Boner on it.
That's all anyone remembers about Family Ties.
No, it also had a dad with a beard. Am I thinking of? What's the one with Michael J. Fox?
That's Family Ties.
Okay, so he had the hippie dad with a beard.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's the other thing I remember about Family Ties.
Yeah. I remember Meredith Baxter Burney.
I remember Michael J. Fox, who on that show was basically like the hero of the show and was also like a young Republican.
Yeah.
I remember that kind of being the last time you could get away with that in a youth-oriented sitcom, with your main character being like a money-grubbing asshole and everyone being like, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
This is perfectly normal. Yeah. It's the 80s.
Do a lot of coke and vote for Ronald Reagan.